Well, good morning, good morning. Happy Mother's Day. I love you all and so grateful that we get to celebrate moms today. And I also wanted to say, you know, Beautiful Night is Tuesday night. We are doing these a little bit fewer times a year so that we can really have some concentrated times together. And we would love our women to be in all those small groups that are present in this house. But if you are a woman, I would sure love to invite you this Tuesday night. We're gonna have some prayer and some worship time. I have a word that God's put in my heart for you as we go into the summer. So I sure would love to see you there. I also wanted to note, last week, wow, with Baina sharing, how many enjoyed last week? Can we all just give her a hand? I mean, she spoke in such a beautiful way and just kind of even set up Mother's Day in such a beautiful way. So thank you for sharing. I love you dearly. That was incredible. But I was just going to share some funny quotes as we get started, and then I'm going to read some scripture and we'll dive in. But, you know, I read this week and it made me laugh. When your mom voice is so loud, even the neighbors brush their teeth and get dressed. Does anybody else have a mom's voice? I'd be like, get your shoes on. You know, the person like three houses down is like, okay. When my kids act out in public, I like to yell, wait till I tell your mom and pretend they're not mine. I haven't done this. I mean, I didn't think of it, or maybe I would have, but I think that's fabulous. For boys, they might be less drama than girls, but they're harder to keep alive. In my household, as my son was a climber, I'd be like, no, we don't want to be on top there. That's just not safe. But yeah. And then there was this term that I was seeing getting thrown around. It was called momster. And it's what happens to a mom after she counts to three. Do we have any counters in this room? I was a counter. You better do this, smarten up, I'll count to three. We have some screens I kind of wanted to share. Can you just put them up that I just thought were so funny as I was just listening or watching this week? But here's a definition of mother. One person with superhuman abilities, they can survive on 3 hours of sleep. And if you're a mom, you know what I'm talking about. Skilled professional with expertise in finance, medicine, negotiation, specifically, and the culinary arts. Sorry, kids, I didn't get that one. But always believes in you. And then it also says, see also super mom and saint. I don't know if I'm a saint, but there's times where we get asked a lot. Here's another one. Motherhood is an extreme sport. That's why we have to wear workout clothes every day. All you yoga pants wearers that like are wearing your stretchies every day, I got you. That's because it's an extreme sport, this motherhood thing. All right, next. I'm just a mom helping my child look for a toy that I threw away. Wave at me if you've been in that spot. I'm like, man, they have not played for that toy for like an entire year. And the moment I'm like, it's gonna go to the Goodwill or we're gonna give that away. It's gonna go bye-bye. Then it's like, mom, where's my doll with the pink dress? And I'm like, oh, you want that one? Let's look for that. All right, next. My daughter is watching. That's how important my decisions are. I'm just gonna let that sit. That's what we're gonna talk about today. Next. Raising kids is like a walk in the park, Jurassic Park. It's what it feels like sometimes, right? Where you're like, whoo, just when you think you're safe, all of a sudden something's coming at you. All right, next. Now I know why Mama Bear's porridge was cold. How many moms have heated their coffee or tea up like 10 times in a day and you're like, I am going to get to it. And then you're like, you take one sip and then you hear a crash upstairs and you're like, just a minute. And we just heat it up again. And that's why Mama Bear's porridge was cold. All right, next. It's like kids can just smell us relaxing. If you're a mom, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They did not need you at all while you were doing the dishes. They were like just happy. But the moment you sit your buns down somewhere on the couch, you just know your kids are gonna come out of the woodwork and they're gonna need something. Next. You know you're a mom when your phone memory is full, but you'd rather delete your banking app than 589 pictures of your baby sleeping. 100% me. I remember one day I was like literally deleting very needing things in my life. And Doug looked over and he's like, Donna, you don't need all of those. It's the same picture. And I'm like, oh no, it's not the same picture. Slightly different angle. All right, next. Being a mother is learning about strengths you didn't know you had and dealing with fears that you didn't know existed. Do you know what I'm talking about? Us moms, we discover things when you become a mom, that there's things that are not the easiest in life. I know we're all in different seasons of motherhood. Maybe some have grown kids. Maybe some of you today have little kids. Maybe you're praying for your kids or you're praying to have kids. We all have different contexts for today, but I just want to start out by saying this. We are in this together, and us mothers are rallying together like never before to say, whatever season you are in right now, that we are standing together with you. I'm going to read a portion of scripture in Exodus 2:1. You know, there was a couple moms. As I started out this week, I'll be honest, I had decided to preach a message, things I've learned on motherhood. Kind of like a cute anecdotal kind of a message. But as I began to dive into the Word of God, there was a couple moms that stood out to me, and I felt this burden growing inside my heart that God is just stirring something inside of me for mothers. The title of my message today might not be the most like feel good. It's a little intense, so just love me. But motherhood, raising the next generation of spiritual deliverers. And I felt like God has called me to preach a message to us as mothers of this house, whatever season you're in. Women of this house, maybe you're a grandma and God's calling you to raise up some even women in this house. Maybe you're not even a mother, but God's going to put some people in your path. But we are called as mothers, as nurturers, to raise up the next generation that is going to impact our culture. And we must take it seriously. You know, one of the moms I studied was Jochebed, and she was actually the mother of Moses. We're going to start in Exodus 2, and just to set up the context, in this time of history, the Israelites were slaves to the Egyptians, and it was a very harsh environment. In fact, it was a season of time where Pharaoh was so worried about how they were flourishing, and the Hebrews were flourishing and growing in numbers and multiplying, that they were worried that they were going to overtake them. So he made a rule that as midwives were giving birth or helping women give birth, that they were to kill those babies. And then there's this one mother that takes that moment in history and that time and says, no, no. And she stood differently. So let's start in verse 1. It says, a man from the family of Levi married a Levite woman. The woman became pregnant, had a son. She saw that there was something special about him, and she hid him. See, there's an intuition in us as moms where we are going to see things in our children that maybe nobody else even can fully see. God's gonna give you that intuition as a mom. And then I love seeing what she did. She hid him, she protected him. And then she said she hid him for 3 months. When she couldn't hide him any longer, she got a little basket boat made of papyrus. You know, that word boat is the same word for ark, and it's a picture of how God even told Noah to build an ark to protect his family. She waterproofed it with tar and pitch, and she placed the child in it. And then she set it afloat in the reeds at the edge of the Nile. In verse 4, the baby's older sister found herself a vantage point a little way off, and she watched to see what would happen. So there's this basket in the water, and the sister, Moses' sister, was actually watching. Pharaoh's daughter came down to the Nile to bathe, and her maiden strolled on the bank, and she saw this basket floating in the reeds, and she sent her maid to get it. When she opened it up, she saw a child, a baby crying, and her heart went out to him. And she said, this must be one of the Hebrew babies. It's so interesting that even though her dad was Pharaoh, the one that was killing the Hebrew babies, there's something so innate in the nature of us as moms to see a child and want to protect it. So the sister was so ingenious. She jumped out and she said, do you want me to go get a nursing mom from the Hebrews so she can nurse the baby? And Pharaoh's daughter said, yes, go. So the girl went and called the child's mother, and Pharaoh's daughter told her, take this baby and nurse him for me. I will pay you. How many moms are like, do I get to get paid for that part? And the woman took the child and nursed him. After the child was weaned, she presented him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she adopted him as her son. And she named him Moses, which meant pulled out, saying, I pulled him out of the water. You know, I think about Jochebed and this mother and how her journey maybe didn't look like what she expected it to look like or what she wanted it to look like, and how much trust that she would have to have in God when God had a different path for her child. God was setting Moses up to be a deliverer, but the path of the mom's heart is something we have to consider today. And then I was thinking about another mom. Her name was Mary, and she was the mother of Jesus. And we read her story, and sometimes, you know, you read the Bible stories and you disassociate that they're real people. That Mary was a real mom with a child, with a baby that was born. And in the context of here, it was her cousin Elizabeth had miraculously become pregnant at a very late age. And of course, this is the days before you couldn't text your cousin and be like, hey, I'm pregnant. So this is the context of this moment. It was the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. And God sent the angel Gabriel to the Galilean village of Nazareth to a virgin engaged to be married to a man descended from David. His name was Joseph and the virgin's name Mary. And upon entering, Gabriel, the angel, he greeted her and he said this, good morning. Can you imagine if an angel jumped out like and just was like, good morning. Freak me out. You're beautiful. This is what the angel says to Mary. You're beautiful with God's beauty. Beautiful inside and out. God be with you. I honestly just want to say that to you as moms today. You are beautiful. God's beauty is inside and out, all around you. God be with you. Verse 29, she was thoroughly shaken, understandably, right? Wondering what was behind a greeting like that. You know, it's interesting. Sometimes we as moms, we just kind of wander. We ponder some things or some things happen and we just kind of like, wonder what is ahead for my children or this moment. The angel assured her, Mary, you have nothing to fear. God has a surprise for you. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great. He's going to be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will rule Jacob's house forever, no end ever to his kingdom. Mary said to the angel, but how? I've never slept with a man. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest hover over you. Therefore, the child you bring to birth will be called Holy, Son of God. Isn't that this moment where some things as a mom, we don't know how. How is this going to work out? I want to say this to you. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. And God is going to give you everything that you need. Here's this moment. Mary said this. God said, and did you know that your cousin Elizabeth conceived a son? So the angel tells Mary about this, her cousin having a baby, how old as she is. Everyone called her barren, and here she is 6 months pregnant. Nothing you see is impossible with God. I'm speaking that straight into your spirit today. Nothing is impossible with God. And here's where Mary responds, and she said, yes, I see it all now. I am the Lord's maid. I am ready to serve. Let it be with me just as you said. What a beautiful way to even approach motherhood before she even had a child. She said, Lord, your will, whatever you want to do, be it unto me. Mary didn't waste a minute. She got up and she traveled to a town. She went to see Elizabeth to see this child. And it says, as the story goes along, that when Mary greeted Elizabeth, Elizabeth's child, who was actually John the Baptist that was going to prepare the way of the Lord, leapt inside. And she was filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is what she sang out to Mary. She said, you're so blessed among women. And the babe in your womb also blessed. Why am I so blessed that the mother of my Lord visits me? The moment the sound of your greeting entered my ears, the babe in my womb skipped like a lamb for sheer joy. And this last phrase I love, blessed woman who believed what God said, believed every word would come true. Father, today in your presence, God, I pray for every mom, whatever season, whatever stage, maybe those that are even just in this moment and there's sadness, maybe like me, they've lost a mom and there's pain and there's a little mixture of emotions today. Maybe they've been praying for a child like Hannah. Maybe they're contending, God, for what they feel and they see in their mind's eye, God, today. Jesus, I pray that you would stir every heart today, God, every mother in this room, Jesus, regardless of the season or the context, God. Father, I pray that you would shape us today. God, that we would rise up as women to take on the role that you have seen fit for each of us as mothers to be part of raising up the next generation of culture shifters and spiritual deliverers, God. Father, we live in a time and a season where it is dark and it's chaotic. And Father, God, you are putting it into our hearts, Jesus, to raise up the next generation, God, in a way that honors you, Lord. So we just thank you. Be with us today as we dive into your word. God, you speak what you want to speak to us, God, today. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen, amen. Thank you, Kaylee, my beautiful daughter. My son and my other daughter is in Spanish, playing in the Spanish service at the other side of the building. So what a Mother's Day for me to see each of my kids loving Jesus and serving God. You know, I want to just dive right in after those passages of scriptures. You know, we have some biblical examples. And as I wanted today to just say, God, what do you want to speak to us? What truly hit me is that in this season and culture, moms have the ability like nobody else to shape the next generation. Like Jochebed, she hid him. She knew something was special about him. Like Mary, who said, God, whatever, be it unto me. We have the potential to shape the hearts and minds of the next spiritual deliverers. We are in that season. Look at the world. There's an attack on the seed in every woman. There is attack on the next generation. And God has called us to rise up as mothers to see God move through our children to shake and to shape the culture today. Can I hear an amen? Well, we are going to dive in, but I wanted to share some stats with you to kind of shape what I want to say today. You know, I was doing some research, and Barna did a survey about a year and a half ago, and it was, what are the top five most important goals for your children, was the question asked. And the interesting thing as I was reading the research is that it didn't matter if they were non-Christian or Christian, it was the same five that landed at the top. There was some different percentages, but it was the same five top things. The first thing that moms wanted as goals, that was their goals for their children, was for them to love and accept who they are. And though I think that is very lofty, and that is very, I want my kids to love and accept who they are. But there's some things, as you'll see this list, that got, grew concern in my heart. The second was, I want my kids to grow up to be kind people. Of course, yes, I want my kids to be kind. The third one was, I want them to be financially stable. Of course, I want my kids to be able to have a good work ethic, and I want them to have jobs and be able to be successful and to be financially able to support themselves and their family. The fourth one was to have access to quality education. I mean, we as moms, we want them to be in the best schools that they can be, and we want them to be in the right path and choose the right education and go along the journey. That is number four. And number five, to have access to quality food and exercise. Like, we want them overall to be healthy. But what was blaringly obvious to me is that something has shifted in our goals for motherhood. Because what God intended for us to be ones that nurture and train our kids in the fear of the Lord, in the admonition of the Lord, now we have kind of made motherhood, our goals for motherhood is that they're good and nice people, that they love and accept themselves, that they maybe have a good education and have food. I want all those things too for my kids, don't get me wrong. But there is something that God is calling us as mothers in this house to have as a goal, and that is to raise kids that fear the Lord, to raise kids that literally can shift and impact culture around them. I don't want to just have kind kids. I want kind kids, but I want kind kids that are also bold, kids that would be bold enough to say, actually, that's not right, and this is truth. Do you hear what I'm saying? So there's something. What is our role as moms? That's what I want to talk about today. Number one, as mothers, we are called to nurture the spiritual hearts of our children. See, we must be intentional about teaching our children and modeling the ways of the Lord. It's so interesting in Exodus 2:2 when Jochebed, it says she saw there was something special about him, and so she hid him. God has given us the role to protect our children. And if we're going to spiritually nurture their hearts and minds, there's going to be times where we're going to separate them from the world. There's going to be time where we're going to make decisions to protect them. I love this in 2 Timothy 1:5. Paul is writing to a spiritual son, Timothy. And I love, he says this, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. This is the biblical pattern that we was, as the generations, we would pass down from generation to generation, a love for the Lord, a love for God's house, and a passion for him. You know, Proverbs 22, verses 6 is one of the verses that is an anchor verse for us as parents. And it says this, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it." And I was studying that word train, which actually is shanak, I don't know how you say it, but C-H-A-N-A-K. And it means this first, to put something into the mouth, to give it to be tasted. And I started thinking, how interesting that when the word that is chosen, train up a child in the way that they should go, that the word has something to do with putting something in the mouth to taste. And I started thinking about this, that we can actually shape the tastes of our children by what we put in their mouth. I want you to think about this. The things that, the foods that we love, our kids will end up liking because we have put the taste for that in their mouth. You know, my daughter Kaylee, she's our firstborn, and we are a hot sauce family. We are sriracha loving, now Tabasco, because her husband Isaac loves Tabasco, but all the hot sauces. I mean, if you just want to make someone happy in my family, give them a bottle of hot sauce. And everybody's like, woo, we go through sriracha, you know, literally a bottle a week almost. Not even joking. I think we went through like 32 last year because we bought them online when there was a shortage, but that's another story. My husband was very greatly distressed, and so we had a whole shelf of sriracha just in case, and we're all the way through it now. But, you know, she was 2 years old, and I remember her, it was our first house, and she was sitting there in her high chair, so cute, and she was just gabbering on, and we were all like, just, Doug and I were just sitting there eating our sandwiches. It was like lunchtime. And she looked over, she motioned to Doug, and she saw Doug take the sriracha and like literally go, you know, big pile of sriracha, big pile of ranch, and he was like working it together and he's dipping his sandwich in it, right? That's his favorite thing. And I look over and Kaylee's like saying, I want some of that. Like she's talking to me in her 2-year-old language. She wants some of that. And I was like, oh, sweetheart, that is hot. That will burn your tongue. Like you're not ready for that hot sauce. But man, she motioned for it again. So finally, and don't judge me, I'm that kind of mom where I'm like, okay, well, let's show you. We're going to do a little show. So I put just a little tiny bit of hot sauce on her little sandwich. And honestly, it was the funniest thing to watch. I see her lip licking her lips, like, oh, that's hot. Guess what she says to me? More, more. I'd like more of that. So I kept putting little dots. See, because she had watched us love something, and as she watched that, we had put a taste in her mouth for something, and now that taste is something that she desires. See, what we are inhaling, what we are consuming, what we are eating is actually going to be passed down to the next generation. And us as moms, we have to remember that what we are consuming is part of it. And then I remember Kaylee would grab her Bible, and then as I had Tessa and I had Kai, I would be reading my Bible and journaling, and I would look over, and there they were. They would grab some sort of notebook that they had. They would grab their little kid's Bible, and even before they could read, they would just kind of be, because why? How do we spiritually do this with our children? How do we nurture their hearts? It's by nurturing our hearts in God's presence. It's by falling in love with God's word ourselves, and something will be passed on. And I want to say this, be intentional with what you feed your kids. Like, be that mom. Don't be afraid to be that mom that is super intentional and super protective and care for what your kids are eating. We're so concerned that they have organic this and organic that and grass-fed this and, you know, all of that. But what are we spiritually giving them to eat? That is our role as moms. Now, I remember when Kai was maybe in middle school or high school, I can't remember, but he was kind of struggling with his attitude. Not that my children ever struggled with their attitudes at all. I never struggled with my attitude, just joking. And there was this moment, and I went up to his bedroom, and I could hear the music that was being played. And, you know, here's this moment where I had to stop and be like, I don't want to be legalistic. I don't want to tell him to not listen to that music. But what in the world is he listening to? What is that language? What is that attitude? And I had noticed his attitude slipping. And so, I mean, I went to prayer because I was like, Lord, teach me in this moment what to do. If I go in there, I don't want to like push him away. And those are thoughts that we have. And the Holy Spirit said, talk to him. So I go in there and I said, hey, Kai, I want to ask you something. I just want to do a little test. I want you to just put aside that music for 1 week, and then I want you to listen to worship music. And he's like, I don't want to do that. And I was like, I'm just asking you for 1 week to try something for me. And the amazing thing is when I took the time to do that and to talk with him, that what happened was he learned something about himself. See, I spiritually fed him and taught him to discern his own spirit. Do you know what happened at the end of that week? I said, how do you feel? He was like, better. I was like, okay, what does that mean? I feel better. And it's like his attitude started shifting. He started being a little bit more pleasant. He started being pleasant with his sisters and with me, and his attitude shifted. And so often we as moms want to just like throw down a law or throw down a rule, and God's saying, no, train up your child, teach them to discern, but don't shy away from teaching them, train them to discern what they are going to eat. You know, the Holy Spirit wants to lead us and guide us. I get asked this, like, is there a formula? Like, tell me how to raise kids that love God and love the house of God. And especially as my kids are now older, and even pastors last week. And I'm like, oh man, do I wish there was a formula. Do this, do this, do this. But honestly, every child has their own path that they have to follow, right? And I would say this, something that God keeps saying over and over to me, even as now I am in a new season of mothering, is the Holy Spirit is our guide. How do we spiritually nurture our kids? Listen to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the Holy Spirit's gonna say, say it, be bold, Donna. And I call that my green light, and I'm visual, so I picture a green light in my head. Say it, and I will say, actually, no, and here's the truth. Then there's sometimes God says, don't say it, pray it. That's a red light where God's like, nope, this is a moment. You see an attitude. You're discerning something in your child. This is a moment where you're just going to pray. You're going to get on your hands and you're going to, hands and knees, knees and hands. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but you know, get on your knees. That didn't make sense. But on your knees, and you are going to pray it. That's because the Holy Spirit nudged you to wait because he might be working in your child. Then I picture a yellow light, and that's when the Holy Spirit says, ask questions. How are you doing? Try to do a little bit of understanding. Maybe they're going through something. Maybe something happened at school, or there's things that you don't know, and God wants us to be led by the Holy Spirit. But here's something John Bevere said last Thursday night when he was here. It was powerful. He said this, the fear of God keeps us from lawlessness, right? We're trying to train up our kids in the fear of the Lord, but the love of God keeps us from legalism. That impacted me so much last week because I think about this, you know, I grew up in a very, very strict home and I had those parents, but for some reason I didn't rebel. And it's not because I'm just this great, wonderful person that didn't rebel. You know what it was? Is that my parents had a love for God and they passed down this passionate love for God. So it wasn't about the rules. It wasn't legalism because love was at the root of everything that was told to me. Love, I could see their love. And then love began to grow in my heart from God. And you know, this is something that's very true in science, is that you can't reproduce what you're not. I can't. Doug said it last week when we were talking about the vine. If you're a grape, you can't produce a pear. We as mothers must go after the things of the Lord, because when a love for God is just rooted and grounded in our hearts, you're going to turn around and be like, that's what you passed into your kids. So we can shape them and lead them and actually put boundaries around their life when it is rooted and grounded in the love of God. That's how we do it. Number two, as mothers, our values and priorities must align with our role in our mission. See, when we view our role as stewarding rather than owning our children, we let God set the agenda and we recognize that we are serving his vision. See, if our mission is to raise up godly leaders, then it's going to impact our priorities. It's gonna change everything. And see, going back to, I feel like the enemy has changed the goals of mothers. But if we would get back to the initial intent, which is we are called to train up our children in the ways of the Lord, when that becomes our goal, it affects our priorities. I love that Mary said that, I'm the Lord's servant, I'm ready to serve. That we say, God, this is how we serve you. And in Psalms 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world, and all who live in it. All of the humans in the world are the Lord's. These kids of ours that we want to call our kids, and we do call our kids, they are the Lord's. We are owners of nothing, and stewards of everything. Now, when I borrow something and it's not mine, I handle it very differently. I say, how would you like me to take care of it? What would you like me to do with it? What temperature should it be at? And when we view our children as the Lord's, then we go to God and we say, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to handle this? How do you want me to approach this? Because motherhood, it's stewarding and nurturing. And this is the hard part of motherhood. It is all, doing all of that to prepare to let them go and to release them. They are not ours. Something I think about is this. When I view my child as mine, I will shape that child to meet my expectations. When I view myself as stewarding and taking care of God's child, I will surrender to what he wants to do in and through my child. You know, this is very, very powerful when we think about the stewarding versus owning our children. You know, I do a prayer group on Thursdays, and we were meeting this last week and we were all praying, and one of my friends just said, hey, can I get prayer? Because this is kind of something I'm processing. And she says something so profound that she had in her mind how she wanted her child's childhood to go. Like, she had decided, this is the kind of family, this is how I want it to go. And they'd had some surprises in their family, and it wasn't actually going along that way, as sometimes surprises happen in our life. And as she's going along, she's driving, and the Holy Spirit said to her, did I choose that childhood for your child? And honestly, that question can change everything. Because our priorities, when they line up with how God destined our children's journey to be, it changes everything. They are not ours. So we have to put our expectations at God and say, God, this is maybe not what I expected. This is not how I thought it would go. But God, let me line up with how you want things to go. And those are going to be my priorities. And those are going to be my values. You know, there's this moment, I don't like this passage, but in Luke 8, there's this moment where Jesus is told that his mother and brothers are standing outside. And I can tell you, if my kids were all inside and I wanted to talk to them, I'd be like, tell them that their mother is standing outside. And here's what happened. Jesus says, he says, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. And I can tell you, this was an uncomfortable passage to read. And I'm like, look, really? Like, that poor mom is standing outside. But I was reading this commentary that really had me thinking a lot. It says this on this passage. In the Jesus movement, family serves the purpose of supporting discipleship. Like, family is God's mechanism to support discipleship, not the other way around, however offensive to the modern reader. Our families are literally called to disciple. It's not that as we disciple, we're going to make better families, but our families are called to disciple. And that means we have to line up our lives and our values, or we're going to end up in a totally different place with a different goal that we arrive at, but not what God intended. You know, I posted this a couple weeks ago. I just want to read a couple points of it because I wanted to just kind of express my heart in this. Our priorities tell our kids what really matters to us, because our priorities speak louder than our words. And when we steward our children, then all of a sudden we don't have actually, it's not up to us what our priorities should be, because the word of God teaches us what our priorities should be. Changes everything. If money is our priority, then making more money will always trump spending time with our families and developing our lives, our families' lives spiritually. See, we will know what our priorities are by what we value by what our priorities are. If material things are our priority, it's going to be obvious where we invest our money. If significance is our priority, we want to look like a good mom. I'm being real. It's in each one of us moms. I want to be seen as a good mom. I want to be the mom that, like, people are like, oh, that's a good mom. But guess what? If significance is my priority, then protecting my image will be more important than authentically leading my children with humility. And you know, there was this moment where I was struggling with one of my kids, and I was frustrated and I was angry. I was like, why did they do that? And what are they? Da, da, da. And I felt like the Holy Spirit came to me and he spoke to me, because I was ready. Do you know, moms, when you hear something and your kids are at school and you're like, All right, I got this speech laid out. Point one, point two, point three. A, one B, one C. We are ready to give them all of our thoughts. And the Holy Spirit said, stop. This is my kid, stop. And you know what he said to me? That humility is a stronger change agent than anger. And we as moms have to remember, sometimes when we come in and we're angry, say, God, help me to come in with your heart. Help me to show that humility to my children. And if Jesus is our priority, our kids are gonna hear us talk passionately about him, read his word and pursue him long before we even teach them. We're gonna give them a taste. If the house of God is our priority, planning our weekends will already be decided long before we get to the Sunday morning. Again, this is not legalism. Don't be afraid to lose your kids though. Like say, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna go to the house of God today. As for me and my house, this is what we're gonna do and we're gonna make it a priority. I'm not being legalistic about it. There is something that will shift in your child's spirit when they are in the presence of God week after week after week that shapes them and puts a taste in them for the house of God. And yes, we have vacations and yes, we have sickness. And yes, there's all of those kind of things. I'm not being legalistic about it. So don't go back to another generation where it was like that. I am saying, but can we not go all the way over here where it doesn't matter? I want to show to my children that it matters to be in the house of God. And if building a godly family is a priority, then what we allow inside our home is going to reflect that. When culture is the biggest feeder to our child's worldview, we have allowed the enemy to shape our family. And it's time to take back the reins. Our priorities have to line up with our mission, moms. Number three, as mothers, God's word must shape us. Number one, and must shape how we raise our children. See, there's a lot of good information about that, but don't be fooled by the world's seemingly clever methods because the world teaches a counterculture way of parenting. It's like opposite day sometimes. And I will hear something, I'll be like, that sounds really good. That sounds really good. But if the word of God is saying something opposite to something that tickles my ears or sounds really good, I have to go to the word of God and say the word of God is actually gonna shape how I parent. Here's this moment in John 19 where I read this and it really had an impact on me and a really crucial point in mothering for me. And this is the moment where Mary and her precious son, Jesus, she's standing there and he is on the cross. And the Lord said to me, because I was in this situation where Kaylee had been kind of helping me with youth ministry. She was like 19 and I was kind of helping run it for a bit in a transition. And I had this thought because she was like pastoring kids already. She was like, mom, we should do this. Mom, we should do that. Mom, it's a passion. Mom, you should meet with this person. Mom, this is. And that's like, I see this passion growing in her. But see, I was a youth pastor for many years and now I'm a pastor. And I know the price tag that goes along with that when God calls you to do that. And I was holding her back because I did not want her to experience the pain that I had experienced. I didn't want her to experience the sometimes isolating feeling that leadership brings us, where we are one-sided in so many relationships. I didn't want her to have that pain. And so I held her back and I was like, no. God brought me to this moment and I watched Mary and she looks up at the cross and her son, her beloved son, was on the cross. And the Lord said to me this. He said, do not protect your children from the pain of their calling. Because every child is called to do something and we as parents, we want them to have happy feelings and good feelings and not go through pain. But maybe what they're going through in school is gonna shape them in a way that leads them to their calling. Maybe they're gonna minister to that group of people that brought them the most pain. There is something that is going on in your child's life and we wanna protect. But we bubble wrap our kids from pain. And sometimes pain is the best teacher. Sometimes that's what's gonna shape their hearts and lead them to be the culture changers that God has called them to be. See how the word of God shapes me. We want to protect our kids, but that's how the world talks about it. Think about discipline. Man, the Bible says that the Lord loves those he disciplines. And yet in culture, we don't want to discipline. We just want to have a talk about it. But God's word is literally counterculture to that. And we as moms cannot shy away from the word of God that teaches us. If we protect our kids from the pain of consequences, we literally are hurting our children. We are hurting our children's future. We are hurting how they see the world. And I just felt this boldness in us. If we are gonna be like Jochebed, having a Moses that's a spiritual deliverer, if we're gonna be like Mary, who had Jesus, who changed the world and was the savior of the world, if we want some Esthers in the world, if we want some Deborahs in the world, if we want some world changers in this house and in this culture and in Denver, Colorado, it's gonna take some moms that say, God, I trust you and I let go. And God, if my kids and if my daughter has to go through some pain to be what God's called her to be, so be it. And I trust you, Lord. See how the word of God can shape us. We have to be so careful because culture wants to. I remember when Tessa came to me and she said she wanted to be a lawyer. And she felt like God had told her to be a lawyer. I was like, oh, great response. I'm like, do you know how much work that is? You know that you have to like read like a ton of really boring stuff, like pages and pages and books of it. And again, the Lord was like, stop. If I am calling her to do that, I'm gonna grace her to do that. And we have to stop getting in the way of what God wants to do in our kids. There's times where our kids are going through something hard. And man, I just wanna get in there and fix it. Do you know that it's not always the solution to take our kids out of a hard situation? Sometimes it is. Sometimes the Holy Spirit's gonna be like, take them, protect them. But sometimes the Holy Spirit would say to me, leave them. Trust me, trust me, trust me. And again, we get back to this position as mothers where there is no formula. We must listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit when you're deciding what school to put your kids in. Listen to the Holy Spirit when you're thinking about a friend and the Lord nudges you like maybe that's not a good friendship. Listen to the nudges of the Holy Spirit because He wants to be partner with you as we mother our children. We need to remember this because the enemy wants to lie. When we allow culture to shape our methods, we will raise kids that look no different than the world. Allowing God's word to shape our parenting protects us from making decisions that will hurt our children's spiritual growth. We have to let God's word shape us and shape our kids. Number four, as mothers, we cannot underestimate our ability to influence our children. See, when we let culture form our kids' worldview, we forfeit the mission that God gives us as mothers. There's this moment in John 2, verse 1 to 5, and this is just an interesting story that I love how God includes so many different stories and helps us teach us like how to live, right? And as moms, sometimes we are like, well, I don't know if I should say that. I don't know if I have the influence, whatever. This is a story in this moment where Jesus had not actually started his ministry yet. He'd been getting disciples, but he had not started his ministry yet or performed a public miracle. And they were at this wedding. It says 3 days later, there was a wedding in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. Jesus and his disciples were guests also. And when they started running low on wine at the wedding banquet, Jesus' mother told him, they're just about out of wine. So she comes to Jesus like, they're like, hey, just about out of wine, which tells me something. He might not have done some public miracles, but he might have been like doing some things on the side. And honestly, there has to be some benefits for Mary because she's gonna watch her son get up on the cross, but she might have also been like, hey, Jesus, we're out of bread again. Can we just make that happen? I saw what you did there on the hill. You know, can we do that right now? I mean, there had to be some benefits, right? But I think about this, Jesus said to her, is this any of our business, mother, yours or mine? This isn't my time, don't push me. And again, this very real moment, I can picture me saying something to my son, I want you to do this, and he's like, no, I don't wanna do that, don't push me. And this is the funny part, verse 5, she went ahead anyway. And she told the servants, do whatever he tells you to do. I laugh so hard because then the story proceeds and Jesus does what his mother tells him to do. Even though he said it wasn't his time, even though he had already said no, this mother's influence, the natural mother Mary, had an influence on her son Jesus. And when she looked at him, he said, no, I want you to do this. This is what's gonna happen. Guess what? He did it. See, we as moms sometimes underestimate the influence that we can have in the next generation. And I want to talk to you moms right now because I believe there's a boldness rising up in some of us that maybe our kids even push back a little bit. Like Jesus, the Son of God, perfect Son of God. But I picture this moment when Mary was like, no. This is what's going to happen. And so often we as moms in this culture, we're afraid and we parent afraid and we shy back afraid that we're gonna lose our kids. But I wanna say this, it is time to be that mom. It is time to step in and say, no, this is what we need to do. This is what we're gonna do. This is what's not acceptable. This will not be in my home. This is what God wants to do in your life. This is what I see in your life. And it is time for us to be bold as moms. Do you hear my heart right now? You know, sometimes I would say something to my kids, something would happen at school and my kids would tell me and they're like, I'm afraid to tell you, mom, because you're gonna embarrass me. Yep, I'm gonna embarrass you. Because guess what? I'm a steward. It's not about whether I don't wanna embarrass you or embarrass you, but I am going to steward the precious gifts that God gave me, named Kaylee, Tessa, and Kai. And if that means that moment stepping in and protecting, I would rather embarrass my children than lose my children. See, culture wants to shape them. And we as moms have to rise up and say, no, we are called to shape them. There is something in this house today that God wants to shift, that we would be bold as mothers. Because I believe right now in the same way that darkness was on the earth in time of Jesus, the same way that it was such a dark time in history when Jochebed was giving birth to Moses, we are in that season where it is chaos and it is dark and there's an attack on this next generation. And it is time for mothers of this house to rise up and say, not here, not today. And maybe you are not a natural mother, but in every woman, there is a nurturing, a natural nurturing gift. And maybe you can look over and speak life into someone. You can speak boldly. You can say, I am called to be a mother in this house, whether I am a natural mother or just a spiritual mother. And I'm gonna look over and I'm gonna say what needs to be said because I care that they follow Jesus more than anything else in this world. And I wanna close with this. When we shy away from intentionally influencing our kids, we relegate the responsibility of shaping our children to culture around us. And in doing that, the enemy will have direct access to shape their hearts and minds. And our kids will be left unprotected and unsafe. Our kids need the safety of boundaries to protect them as they grow in maturity. Believe this with all my heart. You know, there was this moment where when I was youth pastor and there was a girl and she was just really reacting to everything. And she's like, well, that's ridiculous. That's like legalistic. And it was something to do with a boy and boundaries and all that. And I said, you know, we're driving along the street and I just literally went into oncoming traffic. There was no cars coming directly at me, but I was going the wrong way on the road. And she kind of freaked out. She's like, stop, get back over. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? And I was like, oh, I just want to be free. I don't want any rules. I don't want any boundaries. I don't want anything to guide. No, I just want to be free. My car, I'm just driving. Like, what's your problem? She's freaking out. I see a car start turning. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, give me wisdom right now. Give me wisdom right now. Is this of you? Is this like really dumb and I'm going to be in the news tonight? You know what I'm saying? And the Holy Spirit said, just push the envelope a little bit. I stayed. At the last minute, I pulled back over in there. She was quiet. See, we as moms are called to put some lines in the road. We are called to put some lines on the side, and we are not doing that because we are legalistic. We are doing that because we care about our children, and we actually are called to shape them. We are actually there to protect them. Boundaries do not hurt them. That is actually what makes them safe. That's what actually keeps them in the direction that God has called them to go. And I just want to close right here. This is for maybe some of your moms that might be in the middle of a crisis. Maybe you're struggling with one of your kids. Maybe you have a prodigal in your home, or not even in your home, but maybe you've even lost relationship or whatever it might be. But you're in that season. I want you to know this. In the same way that Mary had direct access to Jesus, we as moms, we have direct access to Jesus. And I'm speaking to some of you moms right now. You're in a crisis. You're not sure what to do. This is a moment for you to let God come in right now and remind you that you have direct access. This is a moment in time where us as moms need to go to our knees for our kids. We fight these battles on our knees. We fight it with the word of God. We speak truth. We declare truth. We go into our kids' bedrooms and we lay hands. There was time where I just would lay hands on my kids' pillows and say, Lord, I need you to meet them in the sacred space of their bedroom that now sometimes is not where it should be. God, come into this place. We have that direct access with Jesus to say, God, I need you in this moment. I need you in this moment. If you would just stand with me as we close today, I just want to pray for some moms. There's three groups of moms I want to pray for today. We're going to even put these on the screen because I just felt like maybe some of you are going to identify this, and I just want to pray for you today. I want to pray for some moms that are praying for some adult children. Maybe you have an adult children that is not serving the Lord or not where they're supposed to be, or you see what's in them and that's not what they're living in. Like I said, there might be moms in crisis. Maybe that's personally crisis where you're just done, you're just tired, and it's just overwhelming to you. God wants to meet you today. Maybe there's moms who just today are like, I maybe didn't have this model to me, and I wanna grow and I wanna learn as a mom. I wanna pray for you. So if you can all just close your eyes right now, this is time with you, like you and Jesus. I believe that God wants to come today and minister hope, minister life, and give just an infusion of strength into the moms of this house. If one of those categories, maybe you're praying for an adult children, you're in crisis, or you just feel this hunger to grow as a mom, can you just lift your hands? I want to pray for you today. Just lift your hands in his presence, because I just believe that God is going to give you as a mom exactly what you need in the season. So Holy Spirit, you see every hand that is lifted in this place. God, you see every tear, every cry, every fear. You see every crisis, God. You see every desire. You see every prodigal that is represented here. God, you know, you see the burden of us moms in our hearts, Lord. God, I pray today that a faith would fill our hearts, God, that we can come to you. We have direct access to you, God, to beseech on behalf of our children. So I pray for every child that is represented in this house, God, that you will go before them, God. That, Father, you would give us as women, as moms of this house, a boldness, Father, to raise up, God, children that are gonna shape culture, are gonna push back the enemy's schemes, God, in our homes, Lord. We say no more. You have no more access to our kids in Jesus' name. They are yours, Lord. And today, let a faith come into our hearts, God. Father, I pray we'd move into a season where prodigals would come home. Father, I pray for those that are not living the path that you have ordained for them, God, that you would draw them back home. Father, I pray for those teenagers right now that are in crisis. I pray for those kids that the homes maybe is just in a place where it's just hard. God, we pray in Jesus' name, God, that you would raise mothers in this house, Lord, to speak life into this next generation, God. And we pray, I pray for mothers to raise up the next spiritual deliverers in our culture, God. So we thank you, Lord, for the hope. We thank you for the strength. We thank you for the grace, God. We thank you, Jesus, that as we lay our kids at your feet, we don't hold them back, God, that your will would be done. That your will would be done, God. So we place our kids in your hands, God. Father, be it unto us, Lord, as you will, God. We just thank you for that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.